This episode of the Memory Palace is brought to you by Progressive, home of the Name Your Price tool. You say how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. It's easy to start a quote. Visit Progressive.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Support for the Memory Palace comes from Odoo. If you feel like you're wasting your time and money with your current business software, or just want to know what you could be missing, then you need to join the millions of other users who switched to Odoo. Odoo is the affordable all-in-one management software with a library of fully integrated business applications that help you get more done in less time for a fraction of the price. To learn more, visit odoo.com/memory. That's odoo.com/memory. Odoo, modern management made simple.
This is the Memory Palace. I'm Nate DiMeo. The observatory on the hill was old even then, in 1877. And the worn-out floorboards would groan when Edward Pickering climbed the dark staircase to the telescope in the tower. The telescope had done good work. It had found Saturn's eighth moon, had first spotted that planet's innermost ring. The first daguerreotype of a star, Vega, the second brightest in the night sky that hung over Harvard and its old observatory on the hill, was taken with that telescope. But those discoveries happened long ago, when the old observatory was new. So what could its new director do with it, with its outmoded telescope, and with its staff of nattering young men, the Harvard students, who were phoning it in, or telegraphing it in, or whatever you could say of lazy, entitled grad students in the late 19th century? These guys drove Professor Pickering nuts. He had work to do. He had observations to make. He had data to collect, numbers to crunch. And these bright Harvard men couldn't be bothered to make a careful calculation. Pickering said his maid could do a better job. So he hired her. For 25 cents an hour, Wilhelmina Fleming came to work at the observatory. She swapped a feather duster for a pencil, a washtub for an inkwell, and did simple mathematics for Mr. Pickering, adding up columns of figures, filling spreadsheets in leather-bound ledgers, sitting at a desk in a dusty corner of the observatory's third floor. And at the end of her shift, she'd turn her work over to her professor and watch his face light up at the neatness of the rows, the clarity of her penmanship, how a 1 could never be confused with a 7, how even after long hours, her tired eyes never seemed to mistake a 3 for a 2. And he'd smile at his best assistant, this woman who had once been his maid. At 25 cents an hour, he hired more maids, and school teachers, and store clerks, women who'd rather work in a dusty office than a mill or a grocer or a shirtwaist factory. There's a photograph of Edward Pickering on the steps of the observatory, surrounded by 13 women, each with high neck collars and long dresses that hung down over hidden petticoats and corsets to the tops of their shoes. Pickering is in the top row, in his three-piece suit, professorial and rumpled. If there aren't patches on the elbows, there might as well be. He wears a thick walrus mustache and a look of smug self-satisfaction. Maybe because he's the one man surrounded by all these women. This group his colleagues joked about and called Pickering's harem. Maybe it was just because he knew he was getting an incredible bargain. At 25 cents an hour, the women were getting far less than his former male assistants. Far less than any man, really. Any converted butler or baker or bookkeeper would ever have taken to do the tasks set before them. But he knew that few men at any price could do any better than Wilhelmina Fleming, a woman he came to trust and admire, and who discovered the Horsehead Nebula, or Margaret Harwood, who went on to be the first woman to run her own observatory, or Joanna Mackey, who discovered the first nova in the Lyra constellation. They're in the picture, near the gloating Pickering. Maybe he's smug because these women and their cheap labor allowed him to do important work and make the types of astronomical discoveries that no one thought were even possible to make in such an old observatory with such antiquated instruments. for Pickering came to realize that the future of astronomy wasn't in glowing points in the sky, but in data points, in mathematics, in well-ordered numbers legibly rendered in charts and tables, and accurately filed and made searchable and shareable. And for that, I will now commend the professor, before I set him aside. And commend Williamina Fleming, and Annie Jump Cannon, and Joanna Mackey, and Margaret Harwood, and Molly O'Reilly, and Edith Gill, and Evelyn Leland, and Florence Cushman, and Marion White, and Grace Brooks, and Arvel Walker, and Ida Woods, and Alta Carpenter, and Mabel Gill. There in the photograph, and the other women, not pictured, who worked for Pickering over the years. And who, at 25 cents an hour, worked together in that dusty office in the third floor of the old observatory in the hill, all day, day after day, adding up rows, cross-referencing columns, filling ledgers with figures, making sure their sevens didn't look like ones, making sure the lace ruffles at their wrists didn't dip into the inkwells. For 25 cents an hour, they'd peer through magnifying glasses, looking down at photographs that Pickering had taken by looking up at the night sky through the old telescope. And then they'd count the stars, each one. They'd make a note of the star's relative brightness, and then they'd move on to the next one, and the next one, while the women beside them would work their own small corner of a photograph, work their own small string of some massive calculation. These human computers, like the women in Iowa during World War II who plotted possible trajectories of mortars and cannons, creating charts and graphs that guided the weapons of men right then, fighting in France, in Italy, in North Africa, or the women after the war at the University of Pennsylvania who plotted potential paths of intercontinental ballistic missiles trained on the Soviet Union, and then plugged that information literally into the first mechanical computer, a room-sized thing called ENIAC, that led to something smaller, and something smaller still, that made the women's jobs obsolete. For 25 cents an hour, the women in the old observatory in the hill did the work of laptops, and not particularly smartphones. They spent years of their lives on work that takes fractions of seconds today. Granted. Yes. Fine. But these women ordered the heavens without ever needing to look up. Some had washed floors, had counted bags of flour, noted numbers of nails and screws and shoe polish tins on store shelves, or transcribed, or filed, or were dictated to. And now they counted stars, counted all the stars, some 400,000. Everyone that could be seen back then, unaware of how many more stars were out there, or what a woman would be able to see one day. They counted everyone.